Hey, man.
How do you do, dude?
I wondered if I'd see you again.
I wouldn't miss the semis. How's things been going?
Strikes and gutters, ups and downs.
I'm sure I've got you.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary. Well, take care, man. Gotta get back.
Sure. Take it easy, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you will.
Yeah, well, the dude abides.
The dude abides. I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that.
Looking for traffic and weather? Go somewhere else. This is the Morning Stream with Scott Johnson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Morning Stream. The Mark Gerger. I can't even get the first words out of my mouth out without stumbling around. Hey, it's because I'm a little nervous. Welcome to the first ever episode of the official Frog Pants Morning Show, The Morning Stream. I'm Scott Johnson. And do I have a surprise for you? But before I get to that, for people who are maybe listening mobily or listening on the web, thank you for being here live. This show, of course, supports a live chat room and participation. You can also call the show anytime during the show at 801-770-4244. That's 801-770-4244. And you people don't even know what the stupid format is yet. And yet you're here listening. This could be totaltrashgarbage.com, and you don't even know it yet. But you're about to find out. Anyway, thank you guys for being here. I really appreciate it. I have a big surprise. You think it's just going to be me today and forever. You think that this show is Scott Johnson sitting in a chair in his basement, literally in my basement office, chatting it up with you guys, and you would be partially correct. The real answer is that I will have somebody here looking over my shoulder while I do everything. Someone to make sure I'm keeping on the straight and narrow, as it were. Someone who will make me laugh and make me cry and all those things in between. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to who I'm going to call the guy in the booth right here on the Morning Stream every morning. And that guy is Coverville's own Brian Ibbett. Brian Ibbett, welcome.
You need to fix your collar.
Do I? Is it jacked?
No, I'm just going to keep you on track.
Oh, all right. I'm actually wearing a collar, so I thought maybe you saw something in the camera.
Oh, I am. I'm looking at your collar. I'm looking at you right now. How creepy is that?
Yeah, that's a little weird, dude. You're only five hours away, so you could come over here and stare at me all you want.
That's right.
That's an invitation. Anyway, as far as I know, you're out in a van right now, looking in the window. I'm really stoked to have you as kind of what do you think that role is on the show? Are you Paul Schaefer to my David Letterman?
I'm the Andy Richter to your Conan O'Brien. I'm the Kelly to your Regis. No, that would be too involved. I'm the I'm the Phil to your Tom Green.
Oh, all right. I'll take Phil. Phil's good. You're that guy in the booth. You're that dude.
Guy in the booth.
Bounce shite off of and see if it sticks.
I'm glad you sent the materials too here, because it took about 7 hours to build this booth.
Yeah,
but it's pretty comfortable.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Your van
smells a little in here. There's no ventilation.
Your van-based booth.
That's right.
Well, it's the first episode, folks, and this is, of course, the Morning Stream for Monday, January 24th, 2011. We're doing it live. I'm trying not to make a Bill O'Reilly joke there, because that's what people do when they hear that phrase. I refuse to do it. The time for me is 8:07 a.m. If you're on the East Coast, it's 10:07 a.m. And the word of the day is associates. Now, what is the word of the day, Brian, you might ask?
What is the word of the day?
It's a freaking word I hate. It's words I freaking hate. And we're going to bring them up every week. And we're going to talk about, ever so briefly, why these words suck and should be stricken from the dictionary. The word associates makes my pee green, and I'm not kidding. I freaking hate that word. And so anytime somebody says, like, you go to a store, can we help you, sir? I'm just looking for pants. And the lady will go, oh, well, let me just get one of our associates right on that for you. I want to kick her in the teeth. Do you know what I'm saying? That word is obnoxious. Am I wrong? You gotta and be honest with me here.
You're definitely onto something. I mean, it's a euphemism for minions. Let me get one of my minions to get you a pair of khakis.
And that sucks. So associates is the word of the day. Use it today only, and then strike it from the record. Pretend it never existed. And before we move on, we should also mention that Brian Ibbett, if you're not in the know, and why wouldn't you be, is famous for a couple of things. He is, of course, 1/4 of the Film Sack crew, along with myself, Brian Dunaway, and Randy Jordan of Instance fame. He is part of that show, but he's also part of the best music podcast on the internet. You know, that song podcast you do is pretty good. Yeah,
Songcast.
Songcast. Whoa, we're on to something. Someone register that domain. It's Coverville at coverville.com. And I think that should be mentioned because it really is pretty awesome. And occasionally we're going to pull out a few covers that you'll bring to the table and shove down our throats.
That's right. The cover of the day that day.
Cover of the day. What do we call it?
Or the
that?
Week or whatever. All yeah. Right.
The morning cover. The cover your stream. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
We'll think of something, but who knows? quick overview of what the show will be like most weeks. The show is going to, it's going to do a lot of things, but we're going to cover news. We're going to cover politics. We're going to cover crazy stuff we find on the internet. We are going to talk about weird clips and videos that we find. We'll play audio from a lot of that stuff. We have an entire segment dedicated to celebrities called Celebrity Poop. That's a great name. And that's always fun because I like making fun of our famous human beings that we hold in such high regard.
It'll really just be about Charlie Sheen, won't it? I mean, will there be any other?
Mostly, yeah. I mean, isn't he basically the reason TMZ continues to function every day?
He's the poop, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, so there's that. He's the poop of celebrities. And we'll talk about some weird stuff we find on the web that you may not even know exists out there. And a few other things, but that's the idea. The show goes for about an hour and a half. And this is the last time I'm going to break all that down. Like, I'm trying to just give people an overview. Like, what the hell did you just get into? This is what you got into. Sound good?
Sounds awesome.
All right. It's time for the news.
Dawn of a fatal day, and the wind begins to speak with a roar that no man can fail to hear.
Wow, that guy's serious. He wants some trouble. Hey, getting started right off the bat. If you're a football fan and you were alive yesterday, you heard that the Packers and the Steelers are headed to the Super Bowl. Now, listen, I'm not Joe sports guy, right? Like, one of these days we got to have Randy on for a sports report because that guy follows everything to do with sports. But I'm not a huge fan. And unless you're talking about John Elway and the Broncos, then Ibbett doesn't care.
Oh, no. Au contraire.
Who's your team, then? Who
the Packers,
do you follow?
Man. I'm a big, big Green Bay Packers fan. We've got, the thing that makes it really hard to be a Broncos fan right now.
No Elway?
the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
No, but we've got, I live next door to the two biggest Packer fans in the world. And by proximity, I get kind of sucked into their world. So, you know, I go with them up to, there's this place right next to a nuclear waste site, a former nuclear waste site called Rocky Flats here in Colorado. And there's a lounge across the highway from it called the Rocky Flats Lounge. And
they should call it the testicular cancer lounge because
they should,
it's
yes.
built on a freaking waste depot. Anyway, continue.
Because yes, the Indian burial ground wasn't available.
Right.
So so my next door neighbor is the brat guy up there. And so he goes up there every week to cook brats, this grill out on the patio.
He's a brat guy?
He's a brat guy.
Is that the official? Can we call that guy a brat guy? I mean, is that a sanctioned...
It's an official term. He actually has it sewed on his chef's jacket.
brat guy. All right. I'm even hungry for that right now at 8 o'clock in the morning. But
yeah, there were some good brats yesterday. So I go with them to the game occasionally, and I've been up there for the last 2 weeks getting riled up with the, you know, with all the fans there. And the place just exploded yesterday when the Packers made that last interception of the game to kind of seal the deal with against Chicago.
So, interesting. So Denver, when they don't have a good team to rely on during the year, they jump ship and go Green Bay. That's great.
That's right. Yes.
Fair weather fans. I'm actually a big fan of Green Bay and have been forever. But I'm also a Steelers fan. So this is actually kind of a weird matchup for me. I'm pretty stoked about the idea of watching the Packers and the Steelers go head to head. And I think the last time I saw that happen was like, I don't know, late 90s, was it? Mm-hmm. Early 2000s when they matched up in the Super Bowl. Am I remembering that right?
Oh, have they played Packers Steelers?
I thought so. Favre V, whoever the hell it was throwing for them at the time. And their coach was that pissed off. Is this still the same? See, here's where I show my lack of football coverage throughout the year. Because you know what? I actually really like football. I buy Madden quite often. I enjoy the game. I teach my kids how it's played. We go to local games, go to a lot of high school games. But because ever since I moved to IPTV, I don't really watch live football anymore. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the hell's going on half the year. And then playoffs come around. I'm like, oh, yeah, playoffs. All right, who's in? And then I get excited, and then I'm good all the way up to the Super Bowl. But I don't remember the last time because, you know, that's back in my let's watch sports every weekend days. And I don't really do that anymore, which is kind of sad. Right. I feel like I'm screwing my son's future by not letting him have more football exposure.
Oh, yeah, that's going to ruin him.
Well, I live in Utah, so I'm getting... we are a football state, dude. People are... For a state that doesn't have an NFL team, they sure are freakish about, like, college football around here. Like, the BYU-Utah matchup is, like, blood. It's a blood sport. But anyway... Those are your two teams. Green Bay was the monster of the midway in the NFC, and they won their third straight road playoff game, 21-14, over the rival Chicago Bears. So, sorry, Chicago. I've been to you, but you lost. Anyway, that's it in the way of sports, I promise. That's all we're going to talk about with sports for those who don't enjoy sports. Maybe we'll do more of that if people like it. And I'm serious. Maybe once in a while, having Randy on like one of the days during the week to call in and go, in college matchups, something, something, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure people will like that. Moving on, fitness guru Jack LaLanne died at 96 in California. Oh, moment of silence for Jack LaLanne, 96 years old, dude. The one-time sugarholic, says Reuters, who became a television fitness guru, preached exercise and healthy diet to a generation of American housewives. Really?
Housewives?
Housewives. I didn't know that. Anyway, he died on Sunday at age 96. The article does not say of what. I'm just going to call it good old-fashioned old age.
Nope, it was pneumonia.
Oh, was it?
Which does tend to claim the lives of a lot of the elderly.
Yeah, it's almost like, okay, you know, it was a cold that you and I would have been over in a day. Mm-hmm. But yep. Jack LaLanne, no matter how tight his jeans or his pants were, was not going to survive. He became U.S. television fixture in his close-fitting jumpsuit. Oh, the article actually says that. Starting in 1959, goodness, and came to be regarded as the father of the modern fitness movement, succumbed to pneumonia. Oh, it does say in this article, succumbed to pneumonia following a brief illness in his home in Morro Bay along the California Central Coast. Quote, he was surrounded by his family and passed very peacefully with no distress, except for a hacking cough that made everyone nervous. No, they didn't say that part. I made that part up. And with the football game on Sunday, so everything was normal. Yvonne LaLanne, 66, told Reuters, whoa, he's robbing the cradle there a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or is that his daughter?
Oh, it could be his daughter.
I think that's supposed to be his daughter. You forget when you're 96, someone being 66 is not weird. Like, that's, you know, not strange.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine, okay, when I'm... Nick is 10. Oh,
potentially, I could have been a granddaughter even, really, depending on how early he got started.
Yeah, that's true. what I like about that guy is he used to be just a big old fat guy and just changed his life. And in his like flurry of motivation became this icon of fitness that nobody really ever equaled. I mean, in the later years when he'd show up on like Good Morning America, you kind of felt a little bad for the dude. Because he was obviously in his late 80s, early 90s, and just starting to show that he wasn't going to be long for this world, but you still kind of got to throw the guy some respect. Anyway, so goodbye, Jack LaLanne. May your camel toe live on forever.
Do you get buried in a tracksuit when you're Jack LaLanne?
I don't. Well, this trend should begin now if it doesn't already exist. This guy should, I mean, where's Richard Simmons going to go? What are they going to do with him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Little tiny red shorts.
Oh, my gosh. Richard
and
Simmons.
And a sleeveless and a, you know, an armless tank top.
I'll bet Jack LaLanne hated him because he took the Thunder, man. He stole it because he kind of became the, you know, sweating to the oldies guy. And nobody in my generation cared about Jack LaLanne. We just kind of went, eh, whatever. We're more into this weird, short, curly haired, semi gay, sweating to the oldies guy that we have now.
Semi.
Was he? I don't know. Is he? I guess he's not. He's, has he ever like come out and said, dude, I'm gay. I'm Richard Simmons and I'm gay.
I don't think he ever really has, but it's one of those things that, is there a question about it? You know,
maybe nobody's sitting around asking like me.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. Moving on to Sarah Palin's breath. All right. So I considered, it was eating me alive for the last 2-3 weeks while I've been planning this show. I'm like, should I bring up some of this like latest politics stuff with that crap that happened in Arizona and who's taking blame and who's placing blame and all this kind of stuff? And I figured, you know what? That's all going to come up on its own throughout time on the show. So I don't need to bring up old news, but the old news is basically this in a nutshell. That shooting occurred. People are laying the blame at Sarah Palin's feet for, you know, targeting this woman on her stupid map on her website. And, you know, just general, you know, right-leaning conservative talk that supposedly or you know, does or doesn't lead people to violent acts. Maybe they were already crazy, but maybe this pushed them over the edge. This is what the conversation has been. And what interested me the most throughout it all, but regardless of opinion or what I think, is somebody made a video of Sarah Palin's speech after the incident to sort of answer the critics and then cut out everything but her breathing. So, Brian, you're going to hear this now right here on the show. I give you 37 seconds of, I may not play the whole thing because it creeps me out, to be honest. Sarah Palin breathing in between saying things during her speech, that blood libel speech that she's so famous for now. Check it out. Ugh. I don't like this at all.
It sounds like porn. It's like porn without music.
You just said what we were all thinking. That's all I can take. I can't do any more of that. Anyway, if you want to see more, search for Sarah Palin breath on YouTube and bam, there it is. But anyway, I just think it's, what a day we live in when somebody can get up and talk about a very serious issue and, you know, it's a big political hoo-ha and everybody's flipping out and pointing fingers and the internet goes, I know what let's do. Let's cut out her breath sounds. You know what I mean? Like, that's the time we live in. We're so ironic and so like, bah, you know, just this is what we do on the internet.
You know, well, NPR did something similar a couple of years ago during right around the time of a presidential debate. I don't think it was the last one. I think it was probably about, you know, 6 years ago. And what they did is for each of the candidates' opening statements, they took out everything but the words they said. So you could listen to, more importantly, less the breathing, but more importantly, their ums and ers and uhs and things like that. And it was interesting to compare. I'm trying to remember. It would have been George W. and why can't I remember the guy?
Oh, Dan Quayle, dude.
No, not Dan Quayle.
Oh, George W. Bush.
George W. Bush.
I'm thinking and, Herbert Walker Bush.
Right.
You mean his vice president?
No. The guy he was running against.
Oh, the guy he was running against.
The Democratic
guy. What am I saying? Al Gore?
Was it Al Gore? That was the guy after Al Gore.
Oh, you mean talking about the last election?
John Kerry. There we go.
Oh, John Kerry, right.
Thank you, chat room. Anyway, so they were playing their ums and ers and stuff like that. And yeah. It was interesting to see, you know, John Kerry had a very, I guess, a very practiced, rehearsed speech. And so there were very few of those. But George Bush was just like laden with these. And it was NPR, you're listening, and you get like 3 minutes of.
That's awesome. I love that. I should track that down as well, but yes,
that's entertaining. And then couple that with the breathing, and, yeah.
And then you got yourself a political porno.
That's right,
polyporn. In related news, I just want to mention this because I think Glenn Beck's an idiot. There, I said it. Fine, whatever. Send your hate mail to me, but I can't stand what Glenn Beck does. And anyway, it's a long story, but he's a favorite here in Utah. People love Glenn Beck, partially because of his religious affiliation, but also just, I don't know why they're crazy about him. I think he's obnoxious and he's a radio dude. He's Rush Limbaugh, different style, different brand, different taste. And they all do it for money and whatever. Anyway, Glenn Beck made a repeated mention lately of Francis Fox Piven, a 78-year-old liberal academic at and CUNY professor. What is CUNY? Is that a school? CUNY? Something CUNY. Of New York? Culinary Underwear of New York?
I was trying to look it up and as your producer.
Yeah, guy in the booth. What the hell are you doing? Got to find that thing. Anyway, in Beck's view, Piven's a veritable enemy of the Constitution, is responsible for a plan to intentionally sabotage the American economic system. She wrote a book called The Nation back 45 years ago, where she kind of came to some weird conclusions that he is calling out. Long story short, he has said this. Under the cover of darkness, Piven and other liberals want you not to listen to me, he said in a recent broadcast, because if you start to listen to me, you're never going to willingly give up, or let's see, you're never going to willingly give up your freedom. The problem with all of this is she is getting death threats from Beck fans who, according to some reports, are openly Beck fans saying, you know, this is where we came from and you're going to die if you don't, whatever. If I was her, I'd say I'm 78. I'm not here. I'm not going to be here much longer anyway. But it's this kind of stuff that drives me freaking crazy. So in a climate where people just need to, you know, here's where I stand on this, and then we'll move on to more interesting or less volatile news. But this is where I've always stood on this. I will fight for your right to say whatever you want to say. It is chief among my values in this country that we get to say what we want, that we have complete and utter freedom of speech for the most part. And I will fight for Glenn Beck's right to say stupid things. All I'm saying is, like in Spider-Man, with great responsibility. How's it go? Wait.
With great power comes great responsibility.
With great power comes great. With Sam Raimi comes mediocre films. I think that you just should. Just because you can doesn't mean you should always. Like, the best thing sometimes is not to. You still can. It's your right. But sometimes you ought to hold back a little. Everybody should. On all sides of the spectrum. And before people start going, you're pinko liberal turd, I have this to say. I straddle the middle quite comfortably. That's a way of saying it. I'm very centrist in my views, and you'll learn that over the course of this show. All right. Moving on. People want to do a porn investigation into the new MTV show Skins. Speaking of the pornography. So have you heard about this? You know about the Skin show?
Yeah, I've heard about this. This is this comes from across the pond, doesn't it?
It does. It's originally a British show. It's actually all on Netflix. I've seen some of it. It's okay. It's basically their, you know, I mean, because in Britain they just are less stringent. You can F-bomb all day. You can show stuff you can't show over here, and this is all on some BBC 4 channel or whatever. And people are really, you know, it was a big hit over there. You talk to people in Britain. I've talked to a couple and just asked, well, hey, what's the deal with the Skin show? Why is it such a big deal? And most of them kind of write it off and say, eh, you know, it's like we would talk about 90210 or something. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of like, yeah, it's just the stupid, you know, show that appeals to a narrow demographic and whatever. They decided to reboot it, or not reboot it, but to create an American version of it. It airs on MTV. First airing happened last Thursday, so this week will be its second episode. And already a whole bunch of advertisers are pulling out advertising and stuff because there are some groups that are freaking out about it. And this is how it's described in an article on TMZ. The sex-obsessed, drug-heavy MTV show Skins is under fire from a very powerful parents' organization that's now called for federal investigation into potential child pornography violations. The Parents Television Council has fired off a letter to the U.S. Department of Justice and to the U.S. Senate and House Judiciary Committees over concerns the show uses underaged actors in graphic sexual situations. Wow, we need to TiVo the show, Brian.
I was going to say, it's too bad it's getting all this publicity because, you know, now no one's going to watch it.
Well, that was the point that I wanted to get to. So you hear that all these advertisers are pulling out and all this stuff's going on and people are flipping out. All this is going to do is drive curiosity. up till this point, I had no desire to see this show. Mm-hmm. Now I want to see what the hubbub's about. And it's not, I'm not a 16-year-old going, ooh, boobies. I'm not even doing that. I'm just going, well, what's the noise? Like, let's see if this is as bad as everyone says. And my guess is it isn't. It's probably, you know, in fact, what I've heard is it's way toned down compared to the British version because MTV can't get away with it, even on basic cable. Mm-hmm. And my guess is I'll see it and be a little bit disappointed and it won't be that big a deal. But a whole bunch of people are going to do that now because the Parents Television Council. I hate groups like this.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I hate groups like this is because it's misleading. The Parents Television Council. I'm a parent and I'm not in that council.
Yeah,
F your stupid council. If I don't want Nick to watch Skins, I'm going to parent Nick and not let him watch it. I'm going to be a freaking parent. I put it in quotes for the camera to see. See it, camera? See a chat room? Seriously, I don't. This kind of stuff really gets under my skin. I mean, how do you stand on it? Do you want your school or your government or your... It sounds like political rhetoric. It's not. But, you know, do you want other people to parent your kid?
No, absolutely not. It's my job to manage what Tristan sees and doesn't see on TV. And seriously, I mean, I don't think you should be watching anything really on MTV right now.
Right. Your parenting goal is just don't. MTV should exactly. Just not be on anymore.
That's right. Jersey Shore. Yeah, not sure that's good for a 13-year-old. Skins. No, pass on that. What's the one that shows music videos? Oh, yeah, it's not MTV.
It used to be MTV. So, then it was MTV2. Remember that? That was like, oh, hey, we're back to music with our second channel. And now that's all reality shows.
That's all original programming.
I know where you go now. You go to YouTube. That's where you go.
That's it. Yeah.
It's shocking that people are still making music videos. And I think that's where the revenue, maybe not the revenue, but that's where the exposure is anymore, is online. My kids, they could care less about it. They don't even know MTV exists, partially because we don't have cable, but, you know, they don't care.
And that's a good thing.
But full disclosure, I'm totally addicted to Jersey Shore, and I shouldn't be. It is such a train wreck, dude. I can't get enough of that stupid,
horrible
show. I
have never seen a single episode. I've seen clips on The Soup, and that satisfies me.
It's the worst. It is the worst show, but I just can't stop. Anyway, good luck, parents committee, to do things that I should be allowed to do without you butting in. And I know there are dumb parents out there that are like, come on, kids, the latest Penthouse arrived. Let's gather around and see how much vagina we can see today. I realize they're dumb parents. I got that. But I don't know. It's a hard line. Send us your phone calls and your emails. 770-4244. That's 801-770-4244. I'm hoping we get some calls today during the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Live calls, folks. This isn't for like later. This is like live stuff. In fact, we may have already had a few and I didn't see them. Oh, yeah, I did. I missed one or two. Anyway, it's the first show, dude. I got to get my crap together. Moving on to this very interesting article. Scientists make chickens that don't spread bird flu. What? What? British scientists have developed genetically modified GM. What does that mean? Is GM doing it?
GM chickens, yeah.
They cannot transmit bird flu infections. A step that in the future could reduce the risk of avian flu spreading and causing deadly epidemics in humans. So that's one way to do it.
Oh, genetically modified, by the way.
Oh,
instead GM. of spelling out genetically modified, they'll put GM.
Dude, do we have to acronym everything we say?
I drove a GM chicken back in high school. Had horrible highway mileage.
a GM chicken. You're the worst. Okay, so British scientists, BS, have developed HD. I mean, come on. We don't have to acronym everything that we do in the English language, but people seem to want to. But that's kind of fun. Sure, whatever. As long as it, you know, I have a very specific phobia about bird flu, having spent time in the city where SARS came from for about a week, and it was about 3 months before SARS broke out there.
Oh, wow.
That freaked me out. Like, I feel like I missed getting hit by a bus by like an inch when I was in China. And so I don't know. I have this weird, stupid fear, this unreasonable, sort of irrational fear of bird flu. So whatever you people can do out there to help stop that, that'd be great. In weirder news. Okay, so everyone's talking 2012. We're all going to die, right, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Spatterings. Check this out. Spatterings of green goo fall from the sky into Snyder, New York. A mysterious greenish-yellow goo that fell from the sky has splattered homes in Snyder, New York, and triggered investigations by the FAA and the town's waste engineer. The guy's finally got something to do. Looking at pictures of this, kind of gross.
I was going to blame Nickelodeon for that.
You thought maybe they were just getting rid of their excess, whatever.
Exactly. It was, you know, with a live version of You Can't Say That on Television or whatever that was called.
Yep, yep. This video is playing and it shouldn't be. Shut up, video. Initial suspicions focused on what they call blue ice, and that is the frozen human excrement that falls from passing jetliners. But the FAA investigation quickly dismissed that possibility. All right, stop right there, full stop. Are we still doing that where we fly over and just dump our poop? Is that happening?
Yeah, I think it does. Because you hear about these little ice chunks that that hit houses and things like that every once in a while. I mean, most of this stuff is supposed to just kind of vaporize in the... is that audio?
I don't know why I'm getting... Yeah, I hate sites that force video to play. I just want to shoot that in the face. You could hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. Anyway.
Sounds like Sarah Palin breathing.
But I feel like we live in an age where we shouldn't be throwing... where maybe over the ocean. I guess those are just flights that go over the ocean. But if there's like a cross-continental flight that's flying from New York to L.A., are people in Kansas just like, it's 4 o'clock. Careful. There may be poo in the air.
I don't know how often they do it. I mean, maybe it is just just transcontinental flights, but,
that seems terrible.
I'm looking that up right now.
Seems like a horrible idea. All right. You do that in the booth. You keep looking that up.
Okay.
We have contacted emergency services people, they say, and have water treatment plant in town and an interim engineer looking at it. They're having the debris tested. So if you live somewhere and are getting weird stuff, that's what you got there. I'm going to add a call to the thing. You're on the morning stream. Who's this?
Hey, my name is Keith.
Hi, Keith, did you say?
Yes, Keith.
Oh, hello, Keith. Welcome to the show. What do you got?
Well, I was just listening to what you were saying about the dump in the poo, and I was just wondering, why aren't they pumping it out at each stop?
That's what I'm look, reasonable thinking person saying, well, why aren't they doing it at each stop? I wonder if it's an issue of, for example, if you're in a motorhome and you're driving to your, you know, I'm driving to Colorado to see Ibit. I don't just suddenly release the sewer system in the middle of the desert and go, all right, done, finished. I go there, I find one of those stations and I dump the thing. So why aren't they doing that? I don't know, but my guess it has something to do with capacity. So if they can, they will, or maybe that delays flights too much. Like there's probably some weird bureaucratic reason why. How does that fly in your head?
That's about all I can think of as well. But you were saying about the big trailers that go around and dump at stations.
Yeah.
They don't always dump at stations either. I work at Walmart as a cart pusher.
Yeah.
And sometimes they dump it on the parking lot.
Oh, dude, that's terrible.
See, because Walmart lets you, if you're driving to Winnebago across country, you can, Walmart allows you to stay in their parking lot, right? I mean, you guys allow people to, but occasionally they
just decide.
They leave a tip.
Yeah, the Winnebago decides to take a poop in the parking lot. That's terrible.
Hey, they don't even have to stay the night. They just do it randomly. It's rather annoying.
Do you suppose that's a problem like Walmart wide, like that's happening all around the place, or just your location, it seems like it'd be, is it region specific?
Well, I live in Maine, so I kind of suspect that in bigger places it happens more often.
Oh man! Mm-hmm. All right, well that is good insight. Actually, thank you very much for calling. That was great.
Yeah.
Bye. We'll see you. All right. Hey, the phone call system works, Brian.
Very good. Thank goodness for that.
Thank you for the test.
Had our top men working on that all week.
Anyway, watch out for falling poo is all I got to say. That looks like it's actually not it, but they're not sure what it is. But I'm still, it's funny. I'm less concerned about the mystery substance than I am about planes still doing that.
Yeah.
Shows what I know.
Besides, you know, green goo falling from the sky, I think was the fourth sign of the apocalypse, I believe so.
It was also a really, really good Crosby, Stills, and Nash song from the 60s.
That's right.
Green poop falls from the sky. Southern Cross was the B-side.
I love the one you're with.
Oh, I love that band.
Yeah, I do too.
Really do. The government killed 200 birds in South Dakota.
The government did it.
All right. I have audio for this one. A news report says that, okay, so again, everybody was calling apocalypse like, oh, crap, 2012 is among us. It's end of days. Among us. It's end of days. The world's coming to an end. All these fish dying and birds and crabs and everything. And now there's 200 birds in this city. It turns out that the government did it. And here's proof.
It's happened in places like Louisiana and Arkansas and Kentucky. Literally hundreds of birds mysteriously found dead.
And folks in Yankton, South Dakota thought they were being added to the list after hundreds of dead birds were found there yesterday. Turns out this unpleasant feather discovery has a solid explanation. They were poisoned. News Channel 4's Forrest Saunders joins us now with more.
Someone thought the 200 starlings found dead in Yankton's Riverside Park had froze to death, but they were actually poisoned on purpose by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Many of these European starlings were laying on the ground or frozen in trees discovered by a passerby. Officials first thought the birds were late to migrate and froze.
Hold on. Imagine being this passerby. All right. Walking through the park and like, holy shite, there are 200 dead birds here.
Some of them frozen up in trees.
They went to his knee and said a prayer and just hoped for the best.
Yes.
Anyway, here's the rest.
Froze to death during the recent cold spell. But around 1 this afternoon, that theory changed. Police say they received a phone call from the USDA official who said the birds had been poisoned.
They said that they had poisoned the birds about 10 miles south of Yankton. And they were surprised that they came to Yankton like they did and died in our park.
All right. I don't know how I feel about that, but we may have a listener with some thoughts. Hello, you are on the morning stream. How's it going?
Hey, this is Richard. How you doing, Scott?
Richard, good, man. Good to have you here.
So with birds being poisoned and stuff,
yeah,
kind of cool.
Yeah.
What do you think of that as far as the internet jumping to conclusions thing that's been happening?
Well, like what? Like, describe what you mean.
Well, because, you know, suddenly, you know, some birds died here. So now the internet kind of fans out and starts looking all over the world for animals dying, and you get, you know, all these stories from all over the place, and it turns out it was something normal, you know, they're killing the birds because they aren't supposed to be here. You know, it's just kind of weird that, you know, how things kind of, it's almost like news wildfire with things like this.
Yeah, the internet kind of provides the not to continue your metaphor, but you know, provides like the dry grassland to make that stuff go. Like back in the day, if something like this happened in the 80s, nobody really heard about it. Or if they did, it was a blip on the news, kind of like that story we just heard. And people kind of scratch their head and go, huh, that's weird. And they kind of move on. We live in a day where this stuff can spread, quote unquote, like wildfire, and does, because the internet's just like this fertile ground to get this stuff out there. So, yeah, I totally agree. And it's crazy. I kind of love and hate it, because on the one hand, it's entertaining as hell. And on the other hand, I worry less about the dying birds than I do the psyche of the people who were flipping out online.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was just interesting to see that, you know, there was that one thing that happened, and then we were seeing things from like France, excuse me, and all over the freaking world.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh my God, animals are dying everywhere.
Yeah.
And then it's just something normal.
Yeah, it's crazy. Know? It's totally crazy. But yeah, good thoughts. Thanks, man. Thanks for calling us.
Hey, thanks.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
It's good to see it's always a round number, though. You know, it's always 200 birds.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, 185 birds or
that's true.
275, you know, whatever. It's
yep. That's all very true. Well, hey, welcome to the morning stream. Who's this? Hello?
Oh. Hello? I think you still got me.
Oh, I still have you. Oh, it didn't. That's weird. It won't let me hang up on you.
Oh, well, here, I'll hang up on you. We'll make it
easier. That's a cool little feature. Thanks, Skype. Appreciate that one. Sorry, whoever that was, you can call back. I don't know. I think I hung up on the wrong dude. Moving on, Brian. Almost done here with news. One last story before we move on and take a little break. Snowman's genitals removed after complaint. Oh, that headline alone. I could stop there and it'd be good. The Union County, South Carolina, a man there reluctantly removes pink male genitalia from the snowman in his front lawn after a deputy tells him he must be arrested. According to the police report, the man told the deputy that the snowman was on his private property. Private. So he believed he could display the snowman with the pink parts left in place. The deputy told the man he could either remove the genitals or be charged if he refused. The man said he disagreed, but he removed the offending parts from the snowman to avoid arrest.
I'm making a snow farve.
All
they had to do was just, you know, they could have just on a sunny day stood across the street with a mirror, with a nice little convex mirror and taken off the genitals themselves without even going onto his property.
Oh my gosh, I think that's great. Anyway, let's take one more call before we take a break. Hey, you're on the morning stream. Who's this? Hello? Hello, hello?
Aww.
Oh, we lost him. Let's try this
guy. That was the snowman, actually.
Hey, you're on the morning stream. Who's this?
This is Maggie.
Well, hello, Maggie.
Hi, how are you, Scott?
I'm good. It's good to have you on the show. What's on your mind?
The only thing on my mind is that I want to wish you the best on this show. I listen to all your podcasts, and I, along with so many of my friends, think you're fabulous.
Aww.
You and all of your co-hosts, and I just want to wish you the best in this new endeavor.
Oh, that was very nice of you to say. Thank you very much. I hope it entertains and does well, and good listeners like you will help it go a long way. Yeah, I won't screw it up.
Don't screw it up, dude. Seriously.
That's good advice. Well, thanks, Maggie.
And I also want to tell you that you have one of the best quotes that I've ever heard on anything, and I sometimes still say it to myself and laugh. One time you said, I feel like I'm going crazy in Banana Town. And I still, every time I'm having a crazy day, I still think of the famous Scott Johnson line.
For the record, I still feel like I'm going crazy in a Banana Town. So it has not, that has never really left
me. We all are.
Yes, we all are. Well, we're going to do our best not to screw it up. Thanks, Maggie. That was a great call.
All right. Take care.
See ya. All right, one more call. Hello, you're on the morning stream.
Hello, this is George in West Virginia.
Well, hello, George. How's it going?
Good. I'd just like to say congrats on the new show, and I'm going to ask a little question about the snowman. I don't know if the article you got mentions this, but, you know, I think it would be important to know whether the guy was actually in, like, sort of a city residential area or just out somewhere with a big long driveway and where, you know, people aren't really going to see the snowman from the road.
Oh, I see. So, I mean, let's say it was far back and not really out, you know, obnoxiously in everyone's face as they drove by, how do you stand on it? Let the guy keep it, let him have his wiener snowman or chuck this thing?
Well, I don't know. I think if, like, nobody who's, like, not specifically going to his house sees it, then it's fine. But if he's actually, like, in town, yeah, that's not cool because kids are going to see that all the time.
Right. Right. It sounds the problem I have, and they didn't really describe it in too much detail, but it sounds like it was probably some floppy old sex toy or something on there. Like, it's not like it's not like this guy's, oh, look at his incredible snow-making abilities. He's created genitalia with such accuracy. I think he probably just went, I found this in a drawer, and I'm sticking it down there kind of thing.
Well, the article does say that.
Yeah, that's true, too. It might not have been that anatomically correct, so it might not have been that big a deal anyway.
What were you saying, Ibbett, from the booth
there? The article says that it was a dyed pink male genitals on the snowman in his yard, so it might have just been, you know, a pink chunk of snow.
Gross.
Where do you put that? You know, like when you've got a snowman that's like the typical snowman that you visualize, the three giant, you know, the balls stacked on top of each other.
Right.
Where do you put the genitals?
Well,
right,
because you don't have legs, right?
Right, exactly.
I think you just stick it right in the middle. It's like his belly button.
The middle of the third of the bottom, sphere.
I think that's your answer, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's pretty cool.
It's like a kickstand.
That was my wrestling name in high school. Actually, it was tripod. Anyway, thank you guys for your calls. We got more coming in, but we're going to take those here in a bit. So if you want to hang on to the line or call back in a sec, we'll take more calls here in a minute. Before that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to play a song by our friend Eric Skyhawk. Goes by Skyhawk. His new album is called Function. I did the artwork. And this song is called Bank Test, one of my favorites. We're going to listen to this, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
It's a Bespin guard.
Halt, strangers.
Take us to Lando Calrissian.
Follow me.
From Kenner's Star Wars, the Empire Strikes Back collection. Action figures each sold separately.
I'm Lando. Who's there? Han Solo on a mission with a rebel soldier.
What's your mission?
We're fighting the Empire, and we need your help.
Han Solo, Rebel Soldier, Lando Calrissian, and Bespin Guard, each sold separately. From Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back Collection, new from Kenner.
The Morning Stream, on your browser, your iPod, and your phone. Bitches.
And we're back. Thank you guys for hanging in there. Love Skyhawk's work, man. People should buy that album. 10 Bones. Right there. Absolutely. On the iTunes. Get on MP3, Amazon MP3 as well.
Well worth it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's got some great stuff on there. So if you are a fan, you must do it. We're back, and welcome back to the show, everybody. Once again, as a reminder, if you'd like to call anytime during the show, I pick up calls as often as I can grab them. 801-770-4244. It is time for celebrity news.
The finest of fashions form a glamorous background for a bevy of cover girls arriving at New York's International Airport. Wearing imported clothes and carrying imported handbags, it's stylish to travel when you travel in style.
Brian, I forgot. We call it celebrity poop.
Celebrity poop.
Celebrity poop. This
celebrity
episode,
snowman genitals.
This edition of Celebrity Poop is brought to you by our friends over at MapHook and MapHook.com. A quick note about MapHook. We are going to do something kind of awesome with them today. And that is, if I can find it, and I can't, that's great. I lost what I had for that. All righty. basically, what we're going to do is we're going to, if you don't know what MapHook is, go to MapHook.com. You'll learn all about it. But it's an iPhone app. They're expanding to other platforms and doing some cool stuff. It's a great social app that lets you take pictures of where you're at, take notes about where you're at, kind of a Gowalla meets Twitter meets Instagram kind of combination of things. And it kind of has its own spin on all of that. And it's really great. They're going to start giving away one print per day this week out of the Frog Pants store. Your choice of any 12 by 18 print, one per day. And the way they'll do this is all you got to do is go establish a hook on MapHook. Get the app, establish a hook. They'll pick winners at the end of the day, and then off you go. The best part is those people who enter during the week have a chance at the end of the week to get a $60 gift certificate to a video game of their choice. Doesn't matter what it is, what platform or whatever. 60 freaking bones. So free prints, all of that coming to you from MapHook at MapHook.com. All right, celebrity poop. Let's talk about Martha Stewart. she was hospitalized after a headbutt with a dog. I'm not kidding. I didn't make that up. That thing right there I just said, totally real. There's a picture of her on TMZ. This is kind of gnarly. She's got a big old cracked lip and stuff. Anyway, she needed 9 stitches to close up a bloody gash on her upper lip this week after her dog accidentally headbutted the domestic goddess in the face. Martha was getting ready to leave her New York apartment slash home Tuesday, when she leaned over to whisper goodbye to her dozing French bulldog, Francesca. Or she'll rename it like Devil or something.
That's right.
But Martha says she must have startled the dog because Franny shot upwards and hit Martha in the face, busting her lip open. Martha said she, quote, felt a bit of a whiplash as blood gushed forth from her split lip. It's very biblical.
You know, that's why you got to keep those old holiday sweaters around, because it makes a lovely and festive blood bandage.
Right.
Up the blood.
A little blood in your quiche is always a happy holiday treat.
It's a good thing.
Unable to stop the bleeding herself, Martha first called police to ask for a ride before remembering that she had a driver on standby. Oh, my gosh. Give me a break. We have a call coming in, maybe about this very thing. You're on the Morning Stream. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Jake from Michigan.
Well, hello, Jake from Michigan. How's it going?
Good. I just want to say real quick that I enjoy all of your shows. I had a comment about Martha Stewart, though.
Sweet.
Okay. First off, if she had woken me up to give me a kiss goodbye or something, I'd probably bash her in the face too. Right. Seriously,
I'm trying to picture you sleeping in a corner and Martha Stewart coming up to you on her way out and going, see you later. And then having you bite her in the face or bonk her in the face. That's kind of awesome.
And at the same time, she goes to the hospital and is this like something she wants out there? Like, of course they find this out, but shouldn't she say something like anything other than getting bashed in the face by a dog?
Yeah, I think the problem is that's a really good point. But I think the problem is you get into this sort of celebrity mode of, you know, everybody kind of watching you. Although I don't know who's really that concerned with Martha Stewart these days, since her prison days and all that has kind of died down. But I think people still want to, you know, they want to see somebody bleed. They want to see the pretty people have trouble. And I don't know that I'd call her pretty necessarily, but you know what I mean. She's still kind of got that name. This reminds me, and by the way, thanks for the call. This reminds me of a experience I had, Brian, when I was probably my late 20s. And we got this brand new dog. It was a Dalmatian, okay? Totally excited. He was still a puppy, but big, right? And his name was Cece, and he was huge. And we were keeping him in this bathroom while he was getting, like, trained. And in the bathroom, we didn't have any rugs or anything in there, just his kennel. So it was kind of echoey or whatever. I'm up early one morning, like 5:30 in the morning, and I'm in there brushing my teeth, doing my business. I'm thinking the dog's asleep. And right in the middle of brushing it, I hear, "Roar!" You know, as loud as possible. And I take that toothbrush jammed so far back into my mouth that it literally tore open my gums and a small perforation slash hole in my cheek.
Oh, my God.
Because of that damn dog. So I kind of know what she's talking about. I've kind of been there. Me and Martha Stewart are like this. Can't see it, but my fingers are together. You know what I'm saying?
Fortunately, you had a driver on staff who...
Always waiting for me.
Could get you to the hospital.
Just getting ready to leave. It's always good. Anyway, there's that story. You ever want to hear Harrison Ford yell a lot? Now's your chance. Turns out he yells a lot in his movies. And somebody threw together a clip collection of Harrison Ford yelling in his various films. I found this to be hilarious. Let's listen to that little compilation, and then we'll talk on the other side. Empire. Right? Oh. By the way, that scared the hell out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Off in the other room, you're listening, you know, you're watching Boba Fett talk to Lando and you're hearing Han scream from the other room.
Did not like that at all.
No.
Toughest guy in the movie, screaming like a baby. Anyway, there's more. All right, Star Wars, right? Let's do this for fun.
Those are the stormtroopers chasing him, definitely.
Yep, we're going to pick these movies here. Kalima, Jakti Day, burn me in the chest, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Oh.
No. Boy, that was like four or five of them there, and I don't think I could pull any.
Oh, I know what the last one is. Indiana Jones, the first movie, what's her name, swings the mirror and hits him in the chin.
Okay.
And then because it kind of yelled at first and then went far away because they showed the shot of the boat way out.
Or the submarine. Oh, right, yeah. Yes.
Anyway. That was the one with Tommy Lee Jones, freaking The Fugitive.
Oh, The Fugitive.
Yep. He jumps off the waterfall. Dam. Yeah. Yep. That's awesome.
He doesn't yell as much as he yelps. You know, it's like, oh.
Well, I no wonder he sounds so old now. You listen to his voice now, he's just kind of, Calista and I are at the ranch.
That's right.
Anyway, there's that. George Clooney caught malaria in the Sudan. This made me laugh for some reason. I don't know why. I'm not that I revel in the idea that somebody's getting sick or, you know, whatever. But Clooney made the revelation to Piers Morgan, you know, that guy from America's Got Talent who doesn't really have much talent himself, who's now a host of something.
Larry King.
He's the new CNN guy, right?
Yep.
Has fully recovered, this is Clooney we're talking about, from the mosquito-borne infectious disease. Says, this illustrates this illustrates how with proper medication, the most lethal condition in Africa can be reduced to a bad 10 days instead of a death sentence. Unquote. Thanks, George. It actually makes a good point. There's no reason people should be dying of malaria still. That's dumb.
No, it's just a matter of getting the supplies out to the people who need them.
Doesn't it bug
in
you?
Some of those outlying areas.
This is what bugs me about stuff. Like, I don't like that children die every day of cancer while Charlie Sheen is allowed to live. You know what I mean? Like, he's got his face buried in a bucket of cocaine every 5 minutes, and
right. hooker in the closet,
and is just this, you know, this douchiest of human beings. Meanwhile, some poor little 8-year-old girl, you know, is dying. As a kid, and even as an adult, the disparity there still gives me gas.
Yeah,
I don't like it. Oh, here's one for you, music man.
Oh yeah,
there in the booth. Creed saved a Norwegian boy from a pack of wolves. Creed's music has seemingly saved a 13-year-old boy from a pack of wolves, according to a news report yesterday, January 20th, on Norwegian TV channel TV2. Walter Ekrem, who lives in the Norwegian town of Rakkestad, was walking home from school when he encountered four wolves on the path ahead of him. Ekrem was listening to Creed's Overcome through his mobile phone and decided to try and utilize the band's music to scare the wolves away. He reportedly removed the headphones and turned the volume all the way up to maximum, at which point the wolves turned and walked away. Ekrem says that the wolves heard Creed say, says that when the wolves heard Creed, they, quote, didn't really get scared. They just turned around and simply trotted away. Well, dude, it's Creed. Someone should tell the kid it's Creed.
Yeah. In a related story, Nickelback saves a South Dakota child from a pack of attractive women.
Canada's own Nickelback. Wow. That story makes me laugh. I don't know why that's so great. I just think it's great. All right. Sorry.
The love portion of the show.
I just realized I was supposed to have bed music this whole time and haven't.
Oh, yeah.
So there it is now. Moving on.
Creed's new album right there.
Is it? Anthony Hopkins, turns out, is hooked on American Idol. It's true, Brian. It's true. Mm-hmm. I have proof of this because I have an audio clip where he expresses his love for the show on, I want to say it's ABC's morning show with that Stephanopoulos guy. The little short midgety dude that used to be one of Clinton's advisors.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that his name? George Stephanopoulos. Yeah.
Yes.
That's the worst last name ever. Here's what he had to say to him during an interview. And it kind of, I don't know, weirded me out to hear, you know, this dude who I respect as an actor and scares me in some movies says this.
I read somewhere that your guilty pleasure is American Idol.
I love American Idol. Yeah, because actually I watch it. I've shown up at the... I saw it the other night, and then with the new team.
Yeah, what do you think of the new team?
I think they're fantastic. What I like about American Idol is that it's the American dream. I mean, young kids can come from all over, and they have the courage to get up there and do it. And my wife loves it, and I have to watch it with her, but I've become hooked on it because, yeah, man, she makes me watch it. But I watch it because you think all these kids coming up here, they get up and they do it, and that takes courage, and some of them go on and have great careers. That's the American dream. That's what's always happened here.
I would love to see you as a judge on American Idol. Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. Okay, but this new team is terrific.
They sure are.
Okay.
And that Jennifer Lopez is one sexy bitch.
She is hot. She's got a sweet ass. So that's just funny to me that he would be such a fan. He seems like the nicest guy ever, though. In all fairness, seems like a nice guy. And here's the other thing about him. Have you seen The Last Indian? I think it's called.
No.
Anyway, it's about this dude in New Zealand who's really into motorcycles and owns one of these old Indian bikes that were like all the rage back in the day. They don't make them anymore, but you know, many people say better than Harley or whatever. And he basically goes on a trip to get the thing into the States and race on the Salt Lake Salt Flats. Utah connection. It's really good.
Oh, wow.
Like a damn fine movie. It's overlooked by a lot of people. I would highly recommend it. So I think it's streaming, actually.
People are saying the fastest Indian. Oh, the world's fastest Indian.
Oh, world. Thank you. World's fastest Indian, not the last Indian.
In the cupboard.
I will find you, no matter what occurs. Thank you, chat room. Always keeping us on our toes here. All right. What else? We got more. Do I have more? I have more.
Oh, yes.
Wonder Woman headed to NBC in late-breaking surprise move. NBC Television has given the green light to David E. Kelley's Wonder Woman series. Earlier in the year, NBC had shown interest, but with certain execs leaving, no one would commit to the project. Now with Bob Greenblatt in place. We have Bob Greenblatt in place!
Everyone needs a Bob Greenblatt in place.
Yeah, I know. WBTV has given the go-ahead to take the shelved project and get it into production. The project is described as a reinvention of the iconic DC comic in which Wonder Woman, a.k.a. Diana Prince, get it? Princess Diana, get it? is a vigilante crime fighter in L.A. but also a successful corporate executive and a modern woman trying to balance all of the elements in her extraordinary life. I'm going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why wouldn't we watch it?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely watch it. Just hopefully it's not, you know, I mean, she's an Amazon. Is she a corporate? Has she ever had a run as a corporate lawyer in the comics?
I don't know for sure. I'm not
or
a big
corporate executive. No,
I don't know
sorry.
That I've read enough Wonder Woman to say for sure. Everything I've ever read was always origin stuff or fighting along Superman or JLA stuff. So I don't know. I don't know where she's at with that. Chat room maybe will enlighten us a little bit on that. In fact, if there's an expert out there who wants to talk.
A Wonder Woman expert. I think Nicole Spagg, I saw her in the list here. Oh, talk about your Wonder Woman expert.
Dude, she loves the Wonder Women.
Who would you like to see as Wonder Woman?
Yeah, there's no casting yet, right? I mean, David E. Right. Kelly's got a great track record with good casting, so I'm going to say... what about River... Not River. What's her real name? Terminator.
Summer Glau.
Summer Glau could maybe do it. She still looks 13.
She's busy on the cape. Yeah, she does. I think she's a little too tiny to be Wonder Woman.
We got a call here. Let's see what they say. Hey, you're on the morning stream. Who's this?
Hey, this is Andrew.
What? Andrew Konietzky?
I survived the week in the cocooning process of the microbes and it killed me.
That's good. I heard you were sick. Left us a nice call, sort of wishing us luck. Hey, who would you cast as Wonder Woman, dude?
The person I would cast, and I heard rumor that she's trying to petition for the role, is Bridget Regan. She was the one who played Kal-El on Legend of the Seeker.
Oh, I've heard of her. She's cute.
Yeah, and she kind of looks like Wonder Woman, but they'll probably give it to, like, Rue McClanahan or something.
Dude, we can only hope. That's awesome. Great to hear from you, by the way. I'm glad you didn't die.
No, I've been sick since, like, last Tuesday. I've been, like, catching up on a lot of movies and just sitting around the house.
Well, hopefully a hot Wonder Woman will heal you all up.
As long as the show... I don't like the whole idea of the whole... It's Wonder Woman, but she has, like, a day job.
Yeah, that's... I mean, we got to figure she does. But the day job thing's kind of played out with Superman and Clark Kent and all that, so I don't know if they're going to go for that as much. But
in between buying Hot Pockets, she's got to, like, save someone from a burning car and stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe Denny Crane will make an appearance. That'll seal the deal, right? It's David E. Kelly, after all. Well, we'll have to see. All right, man, take it easy. We got another call coming in. You're on the morning stream. Who's this?
Hey, Scott, it's Brandon.
Hey, Brandon, what up, yo?
How you doing, man?
Good. You sound sick, too. What's with everybody all sick?
I'm actually not sick. I'm just trying to be quiet so people at the office don't know I'm calling you.
Oh. ladies and gentlemen, it's the internet's old man, Franks. What are your thoughts on the whole Wonder Woman gig?
Well, I'm not really a huge fan when they jack with origin stories, although I can understand why for TV. I mean, if you try to bring comics Wonder Woman to the TV, people are going to crap on it unless it's done really, really well. And frankly, I don't think anyone's going to be willing to take that chance.
Well, I mean, at the very least, we have the old Wonder Woman to look at. It was a rating success. It seemed to do okay with mainstream viewers.
You do have a point there. I never saw that. So
but
take your word for it.
Well, and it was okay. I mean, for its time, it was okay. But it certainly doesn't hold up so well now. I think the big test this time around will be, can that character, which I already think is kind of a tough character out of the comics, can that work as a regular serialized TV show? And can somebody like David E. Kelly, who brings all of this sort of courtroom drama guy stuff to the table, is he the right guy for, you know, to be in charge of this, to produce this? I don't know. Time will tell, right?
I don't either, but if it brings a Justice League movie to our lives, I'm all for giving
Good point. Good point. Thanks, man. It's good to hear from you. Oh, I cut him off before he finished his also. Sorry, dude. One more call. I can't tell who this is. So welcome to the morning stream. Who's this? And hello. And they're not there. Okay, we got one more. Let's try this guy. You're on the morning stream. Who's this?
Hey, Scott. It's Kanan in the chat room.
Kanan in the chat room. How's it going, man?
Not much. I wasn't quite at my computer when y'all started the topic of Wonder Woman. Is this the movie that Joss has been pitching around for a couple of years?
No, it's the new TV show. It's the David E. Kelly TV series that NBC apparently has green lit, so it looks like it's going to happen. And we're trying to figure out, A, who should be Wonder Woman, and B, does Wonder Woman even work as a viable TV show in this day and age?
Okay. Well, I know that Joss Whedon's been pitching around a Wonder Woman movie, supposedly starring Charisma Carpenter as Wonder Woman. So I kind of like that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Oh, she'd be great. Cordelia.
Yeah. Yep. She'd be fine. She'd be a fine version for the TV show as well. I think you basically just need a hot brunette and we're good, right?
Hot, but also has to be kind of tall and buff.
Kind of tall and tough and kind of doesn't take no guff from no man.
That's right.
Yeah. Interesting.
And looking at the old TV show, I'd kind of like to see a reboot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, much like Spider-Man, in desperate need of one.
Yeah, and a good one too, by the way. Something that isn't the Cape or No Ordinary Family or Heroes or any of this garbage we've been fed for so long.
I'm going to defend the Cape, actually.
Yeah, no doubt. Sorry, what did you say, Ibbit?
I'm going to defend the Cape. I've been watching it, started with the pilot and watched the last couple episodes. It's actually not bad. It's got a kind of a fun film noir kind of vibe to it.
People are tearing it up, and I haven't seen enough of it to make a judgment call yet, but you saying that makes me want to see more, so maybe I'll check it out and we'll see if the Cape has
I kind of like it.
Because people have really written it off on the internet, which is too bad. Lastly, in stupid news about celebrities, Zsa Zsa Gabor released from the hospital, one leg amputated. She's on her way out. Mm. Do you hear that terrible joke someone told on Twitter? Can't remember who it was, but they said, Zsa Zsa Gabor's house in the Hamptons is for sale. She's moving because she really doesn't need all that room for half the shoes or some terrible thing like that.
Oh, jeez.
But anyway, she responded like in a totally cool way. Her and her husband were like, and they're in their, 90s or something?
Mm-hmm.
Said, you know, oh, we found it to be very funny. That was a very funny joke. Yeah, she thought it was great. That was my Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Now, she's Hungarian. I actually am part Hungarian myself. My mother
really
was Hungarian. Yes, or is Hungarian.
Wow. You do not look/sound. I don't know what a Hungarian looks like. Zsa Zsa Gabor, I guess.
Looks like Zsa Zsa Gabor, yeah.
You're like a hairless Zsa Zsa Gabor. Anyway, so she's out of the hospital on her way. I don't think that she ever expected in her 90s to have this kind of attention for anything, but she is. People are talking about her one leg. So.
Oh, the joke was Lisa Lampanelli, who's always on the roasts.
Oh, yeah. She's a stand-up chick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She's a real stand-up chick.
not from what they say about her on the roasts.
No, that's true. So there you go. That's the end of Celebrity Poop. And here's... Oh, wait.
Happy landings, lassies. In your imported finery, you'll be catching many an eye in Europe.
Yes. Newsreels are crazy good. You'd be catching many an eye in Europe.
Oh, yes.
That's so stupid. All right. We're going to take one last break, and then we're going to come back and finish out this episode, this first episode, this inaugural episode of the show. And for our break today, let's see. What are we going to do here? Oh, yeah. We're going to do this song by Rick Moyer. He's a longtime listener of many Frog Pants shows and does music on his own. Lots of parodies. He's a big Star Trek sci-fi nerd. And he did this particular song, his take on this song, using lots of Starfleet and Star Trek references. Take it away, Rick, and we'll be right back.
Conspiracy on Enterprise, is that the way it flies? A message sent from Walker Keel. Priority message C, to meet the Bondi to Lex B. The captain's gathering a old mining shaft. I'd like to fly back soon, you see, to planet Earth, please. Warp 3. It's hard to say what's going on in Starfleet, 'cause everything is messed up, it seems. Because I saw a thousand bugs when the admirals turned into thugs, as they tried to get me to eat their food. Riker, he acted instead, a fake tail out of his head. He fooled them all, and he shot some dead. I'd like to fly back soon, you see.
be under alien attack. Please take me away from here. We'll have to take the planet back. Please take me away from here. We can't let their message reach deep space. Please take me away from here. The crew will rescue Earth and save face. Back on the Enterprise, Quinn tries to fool those guys, kicks Worf's butt, but then he fell. The bugs are in Remick still. Jean-Luc and Riker's kill. Meat puppet, the aliens, they fill. I'd like to fly back soon, you see, to planet Earth, please. Warp 3. It's hard to say what's going on in Starfleet. Everything is messed up, it seems. I'd like to fly back soon, you see, to planet Earth, please. Warp 3. It's hard to say what's going on in Starfleet. Cause everything is messed up, it seems. I'd like to fly back soon, you see, to planet Earth, please. Warp 3. It's hard to say what's going on in Starfleet, but I think it's a conspiracy.
That's right, I'm Mr. Bucket. I'm Mr. Bucket. Toss your balls in my top, I'm Mr. Bucket. Out of my mouth I will pop, I'm Mr. Bucket. Walk and run, I'm Mr. Bucket.
The game's Mr. Bucket. The first to get their balls into Mr. Bucket wins, but look out, because the balls will pop out of his mouth.
I'm Mr. Bucket. The balls pop out of my mouth, I'm Mr. Bucket. A ball is what I'm about, I'm Mr. Bucket. We're all gonna run, I'm Mr. Bucket. Bucket's a fun.
Mr. Bucket from Milton Bradley.
Bucket's a fun.
We should really warn you, this show is going to get all up in your grill, pimp. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. Welcome back. Who makes that original song? I bet you should know that.
Owl City.
Owl City. My daughter's obsessed with Owl City.
Yeah,
kind of a cool remake. I love that Trek.
Oh, yeah, I like the remake better than the original.
I mean, it's not a bad, you know, it's a decent, catchy sort of poppy tune, but in general, but his take on it's pretty good. It's very nostalgic. Yeah. I like the idea that there's a Star Trek crewman that just can't wait to get home. Something about that appeals to me. Anyway, welcome to the last part of the show. I could go on for hours, dude. I could do this for 5 hours a day.
That's could you do it for 24?
I couldn't do it for 24. Although, wouldn't it be fun to do a marathon once?
Oh, yeah. We should do that sometime,
ooh,
yeah.
Like a fundraiser. Do like a Child's Play fundraiser or something. Wouldn't that be cool? let's take a quick call before we move on to something I found on the web. This is someone new to the show. Welcome to the morning stream. Who's this?
This is Jihad Joe.
Jihad Joe. How's it going? Yeah.
It's going great. You're talking about Wonder Woman. I was just the best Wonder Woman that came to my mind was Rebecca Gayhart. But like you said, any really hot brunette will do. but really, the thing I think that the reason that Wonder Woman is just the wrong choice for a show is that she's an Amazon. And it's all tied into all the Greek mythology and whatever. So what you're saying, like, you know, Zeus and Hades are going to exist too, and like, how are you going to do that justice?
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Choose someone like. I think Elektra would make a good show if you just ignored that movie that existed.
Yeah, pretend that never happened. That'd be great. Actually, you know what? Daredevil would be a great TV show if you could pull Daredevil off. That'd be awesome.
It would be. That could be done great.
Don't you think? Absolutely. I mean, with this merger or this buyout of Disney, or Disney buying out Marvel, you'd think we'd see more of this already on what is it, ABC or CBS they own, whatever it is. You'd think we'd see more of this property, but we don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, the gears are so slow to turn, you know. I mean, I guess we're seeing, I guess not because Wonder Woman's DC, but Yeah, I don't know why they're not turning out. Well, I guess they're turning out cartoons, but they don't seem to have the same thing going on for their live action.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you for your call. I feel like the problem with DC is it's very mythology based, and the thing with Marvel, it's more like scrappy, real dude based. So yeah, you have, you know, mutants and all that, but the two worlds are so different in that way. You know, it's all mythology on the DC side, which means you got a lot of backstory that is really hard to kind of get your head around. Like, okay, Amazon, Amazonian, Greek, blah blah blah. Supposedly this place still exists and trains women all day. It's just kind of, you know, brr. I can buy Wolverine with weird metal in his veins and, you know, the ability to heal real quick and all that. That's, for whatever reason, that's more rooted in reality for me than anything Wonder Woman's ever done. So, I don't know. I don't know what my problem is with that. And I guess Marvel has Thor, which is just as ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
but Thor doesn't fly around in an invisible jet.
Can we just thank Zeus for that right now?
Yes.
I'm really glad that's the case. all right. It is time for something to round out the show today, and I like to call this little segment Weird Web, but now I can't find my thing for it. Here it is. Check it out. That's not it. That's for news. Hold on a second. Where is it? Here it is.
Ooh.
That's all it is. It's just Scott Fletcher saying, ooh. Weird Web. This is where we look at something strange on the web, and maybe it's something you've heard of, maybe it isn't, but I don't think anyone's heard of this, and I don't even know how old it is. This thing feels like it's a site that was built in the late 90s, and then no one ever touched it since. It's Donkey Lovers Anonymous. Now, before you go get your mind in the gutter, it's not that kind of donkey lover, all right? Just want to clear that up, Brian.
Thank you for that.
See you in the booth over there, making a face. Right. The introduction on the site says, welcome newcomers and old friends alike. If you're new to this wonderful industry, you'll find a good starting place to find out what you may be searching for. This is mostly a donkey information site. I'm reading this verbatim. It's all sincere. This is not ironic. This is what they meant to say. Why donkeys, they ask? Perhaps the photo below will best describe that. It's a picture of a dude in a mustache kissing a donkey. This is a photo of a friend of mine. After working out in the yard all day, he sits to take a much-needed and deserved break. As he sits, guess who comes to visit? The donkey wants a little one-on-one attention. Donkeys are lovable, wonderful animals, capable of caring very deeply for their owners. Why donkeys? He already asked that question. As you can see from the picture of Bear and Patience. Dude, is the guy named Bear? Must be. I'm starting
with
to
a mustache like that.
Not that kind of bear. I have a good friend who is who is a self-proclaimed one of those gay bear guys. Big, burly, hairy, mustache, beard dude.
Uh-huh.
And he's just thrilled to let me know about it all the time. He's a really nice guy. His name is Scott also. Anyway, he says, it's all about love. I have tried to anticipate and address the most common misconceptions and concerns of new owners. I have gathered a large listing of sources for donkey supplies. From carts and harnesses to stationery and figurines.
So you can buy a donkey cart. So you love your donkey? I'm going to make him cart my
Super Mario
my pottery around.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's out there, and I will tell you where to find it. There is much information, than many links, and much more good information, so you may want to check the bookmarks on this site now. Fill up your coffee cup, kick up your feet, and prepare for a wonderful afternoon of being introduced to the wonderful world of donkeys. This is an old Fortune City site. FortuneCity.com/Greenfield/Wilderness/58 if you want to go look it up, or just look for Donkey Lovers Anonymous.
Yeah, do a search for that.
Don't do an image search for it, though. I don't think that's safe. I think you'll end up with like stuff that you didn't mean to see. So there you go. Weird Web for this first episode of the show. That's pretty weird, and we'll have more of this each and every day. And finally, go ahead.
Great. I'm looking at one of the pages on that site talking about what can donkeys do. Well, obviously packing. So, you know, if you need to put a pack on them to take them down into the canyon, driving, pulling carts. But guard animals.
Oh.
Donkeys are used widely as guard animals because of their instinct to protect the herd.
Yeah, but I don't care what they do with the herd. I want to know what they do when some dude's trying to break into my car at night. What do they do then? Is that it?
Right, exactly, yes.
Alarm system, okay. I'm with you there. Also, for the illiterate in the crowd, we like to do a little randomopedia. This is where we find out something new on Wikipedia and share it with you. This particular segment of the show is brought to you by East Meets West, airing every Sunday night on the Frog Pants Network. It's Tom Merritt and Roger Chang over there on Twit. And it goes into the Frog Pants mega feed. More information at frogpants.com. Did you know this about water buffalo? Buffalo are used as draft, meat, and dairy animals. I don't know what draft is.
Pulling, right? It's like
blowing cold air
like
in your ear.
Talking.
Oh, pulling. Oh, right. Like work animals.
Like a draft horse, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, here's the important part. Their dung is used as a fertilizer and as a fuel when dried. In Khonburi, Thailand, Pakistan, and other southwestern regions of Karnataka, India. Wow. There are annual water buffalo races known as Kambala. A few have also been used as pack animals carrying loads for special forces. So like Delta Force.
Yes, that's right.
Would use their pack water buffalo.
Water buffalo with the little berets on them, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. A little something you didn't know about. To finish out today, we would like to take a couple of calls if people are out there and interested in calling one last time before we end the show today. 801-770-4244. That's 801-770-4244. While we wait for a call, let's play a clip. This is someone who sent in a voicemail during the week.
Morning, Scott. Good morning, mystery guest. I just heard on the radio that on and listened to NPR that Michael Vick has donated a bunch of money for Humane Society. And I was thinking, well, the problem with him isn't that he was torturing the dogs and all that, which he was. But why do people not care?
I don't know what she's actually talking about, the Michael Vick thing I know about, but Let's ask a caller. Hey, caller, what do you think about Michael Vick? Welcome to the morning stream, by the way.
Hey, it's Jeff Bronco.
Oh, hey, Jeff.
How's it going?
I'm good. You?
Good.
Awesome. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is I'm upset with you.
Oh, why is that?
Because I worked nights all weekend, and I got home, and I started listening to your show, and I wasn't able to go to sleep. I've been laughing all morning. So.
Well, that's good, right? I mean,
yeah.
I hope people are enjoying what the hell we just did.
It's been fun.
This monstrosity of the last hour and a half. I hope people have enjoyed it. Well, good. I'm very glad to hear that. I hope that you get much needed rest instead.
Well, I hope so.
All right, man. Well, take it easy. Let's take another call. We got one coming in from the 902 area code. Welcome to the morning stream. Who's this?
Hey, this is Joel Duggan from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Hey, Joel. I recognize your name. You're all over the place.
Yeah, I am all over the place.
Yeah, I see your name in emails and forum stuff and all that. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, sir?
I'm calling in response to the Wonder Woman stuff you guys were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought the mention of Bridget Regan from the Legend of the Secret show.
Yeah.
I thought that was a brilliant idea. She's a great actress. She's extremely attractive. And unfortunately, on that old Legend of the Secret show, she was given some really crap lines. Because I think it was like a Sam Raimi production.
Oh, was it? Yeah, his stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's famous for like the Xena Warrior Princess and the Hercules stuff and all those.
Exactly. So after, I think I saw a couple of interviews with her as well, and they even mentioned a little murmur of the Wonder Woman thing. And man, like I think she'd be a fantastic choice for that.
All right, well, when they call me, I'm telling them that you said pick her.
Yeah, she's got good... broad shoulders. She'd be great.
Yeah, she would be good. Yeah, you know who else is good? You know who else is good? That chick from the we talked about her before. By the way, thanks for your call. The guy, the Terminator lady that played Sarah Connor in the TV show.
Sarah Connor. Oh,
can't think of her name. All of a sudden, hey, welcome to the morning stream. Who's this?
This is Nigel.
Well, Nigel, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I just thought I'd call in and say congrats on the first show, and it was great to hear it.
Oh, well, good. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. You're going to tune in tomorrow and check it out again?
Yep, tomorrow for sure. The rest of the week is iffy because of my work schedule, but I'll be back.
All right. Well, we're podcasting this thing, and for people listening at home, just so you know, we'll be podcasting all week, so you can catch it later on the feed if you don't get it live.
Right on.
Thanks, man. Oh, whoops, I cut him off. I'll get better at this, folks. I promise. Got another call. Welcome to the morning stream. Who is this?
This is Blaylock from AIE.
That's in World of Warcraft, as I understand it.
You got it, my friend.
Yeah, it's that game. You got the trolls and the hunters and the whatnot.
Yes.
how's it going? What's on your mind?
I just want to call in to say congrats to Scott on the morning show. Pretty good show for the first time.
Oh, well, thanks, man. It. Yeah. I mean, for the first time, it's all right. Pretty good for a first
time. I'm surprised you're up this early. I mean, the Super Bowl with the game last night, I just caught the show like, you know, halfway through.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I hope that you continue to. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go to another one here. This is, someone in Utah. You're on the morning stream. Who's this? Hello?
Hey, it's Zeke.
Zeke the squirrel.
Yeah, Zeke.
What is up?
How's it going?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Zeke is a frequent attendee at Nerdtacular every year. He comes like every year, so he's a familiar face to anyone who's been to Nerdtacular. What's on your mind, sir?
That's right. I just want to say congratulations on the new show, and you woke me up this early in the morning to watch, but I'm usually more of a night owl.
Understood. Well, I'm glad you made the sacrifice. You know, it's hard for me too. I know I'm going to feel it tonight. It's going to kill me tonight, but it's going to be worth it. Hopefully you guys will keep enjoying it. So Utah represent.
Yeah, Utah.
All right, man. See you later. Got one more call. This is someone from the 760 area code. Good morning and welcome to the morning stream.
Hey, this is Colin from California. I just want to wish you congratulations for your first morning stream.
Ah, thanks. And you're in California. That means you got up early.
Yeah, I don't have school today, so.
Whatever. Well, what better educational pursuit to spend your time with than this show? No, that's awesome. I'm really glad to have you. What was your name?
Colin.
Colin. Well, Colin, it's nice to meet you, and I hope you continue to enjoy the show, man.
Bye.
All right, see you, bud. I like kids.
Yeah.
This is the morning stream. Who's this?
Nicole Spag.
Nicole Spag?
Yay.
Oh my gosh, where's that hang up button? Can't find it quick enough. Nicole, a good friend.
I would not be up this early if I had not slept the entire weekend because I'm sick.
I was going to say, you've been sick too. Man. Everyone's sick but me and Ibbot.
Yeah.
It's because you're in that booth. You're in that hermetically sealed booth
exactly.
There.
Exactly. No, I'm glad there's no ventilation in here.
Nicole, what is on your mind this morning? How are you?
Well, you were talking about Michael Vick, and nobody said anything.
Oh, yeah, because I was so quick to grab the phone. Yes, please, speak to the Michael Vick issue, please.
Well, you know, he's a jerk.
Yeah,
I'll give you that. Every time I see him. But the problem is, if Mark was here, he'd probably chime in, too. Since we're both dog lovers, I can't look at him and not think of all that crap that happened. Yeah. Actually here, right?
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, it happened.
And my dogs are even chiming in.
They're up in arms.
Yeah, they're pissed off. Dogs everywhere don't like Michael Vick much. But yeah, no, I think people are mad. I think the issue was not so much did it cause an uproar, it's just that did he get enough of a slap on the wrist for all this?
Oh, well, the problem is he performs well, and you know, if it would be a different story if he didn't perform well, don't you think?
Oh yeah, if his game suffered as a result of all this, then people would be giving him far less credibility or credence. But so I totally agree.
I think he should have got more of a slap on the wrist, but the problem is he's a good performer, so that's what they're looking at.
Well, I think we can all agree Michael Vick is a dick. There you go, Michael Vick. All right, Nicole, it is a pleasure, as always, to talk to you. I hope you call more often. That'll be fun to have you come
I don't
in
know here. If I'll be up this early, but...
You got to come in and talk
awesome.
About women's issues.
That's right. Why would I do that?
I don't know.
Hey, Nicole, really quick, who would you pick to play the Wonder Woman on TV?
The Wonder Woman. I have no idea. I think she would have to be a little obscure, unknown, and underrated to really, so a lot of misconceptions and kind of expectations aren't put on her.
I kind of agree,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I agree. I think it needs to be, but I think some of the people we've said fit that category.
Yeah. Well, like, for instance, what's Anne Hathaway? What was she just casted as?
She was cast as Catwoman, yeah.
Catwoman. And immediately... I just can't see that.
She would have been far better cast as Giant Eye Woman in Batman. I don't know why they didn't do that. Because, you know, that's a real villain and all. Well, we'll see what happens with the Wonder Woman when it comes out.
I'm either way, I'm glad they're doing something with it.
All right. Well, you take care and keep feeling better, will you?
Oh, I'll try.
You're keeping me and your mother up late at night worrying about you. All right. See ya. That's going to do it for calls, folks. Thank you. There's still a few people calling in, but you will have to call tomorrow because today is done, or nearly, quite nearly. Before we leave, want again mention this deal happening with our friends at MapHook. MapHook.com is the place to go, or search for it on iTunes if you have an iPhone or iOS device you would like to use. And it's really simple. Set up some hooks. They'll know who you are because you have to register for an account, so they'll be able to email the winners directly. They'll send you these free prints. A print a day they're giving away all through the week. That's a good value. And then at the end of the week, and again, at the Frog Pants store, you can choose any print you want if you're the winner. And I'll be signing them and everything. So there'll be signed prints. And then at the end of the week, $60 to the big winner this week. And who knows what they'll do in the future. They've got all kinds of cool ideas banging around in their heads. So very excited about having them help sponsor today's episode. I think it's going to do it. Ibbot, how are you feeling in the booth? You feel like we pulled it off? Did we do all right?
Yeah, oxygen's starting to get low here, but I think we did really well, actually. This is a lot of fun.
We'll get you a little ventilation for tomorrow. But in the meantime, I'm excited to tell people that they can learn more about this show and follow us and find all the links they need for the live stream in the morning on video, the Shoutcast stream you can open on your browser in any portable device, really, your iPhones, your Android devices, your whatnot. Those links are there as well. That's at frogpants.com/TMS. The chat room's there. Everything's there. Email us your thoughts at themorningstream@gmail.com. That's to themorningstream@gmail.com. And the phone number, as always, you can call in the off hours as well, I guess, to leave voicemails, 801-770-4244. That'll be up and running all the time. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter. You can find me at Extra Life, and Coverville is where Brian resides.
That's right.
You should follow him as well. I feel like we've done the best we can do today, and I'm very, very pleased with the results, Brian.
Yes, me too.
I do want to play.
Lively, lively discussion.
Yes, very lively. Hasn't it been? you know what? I should let Scott Fletcher do the live thing. Hang on.
Talk to Scott live. Call 801-770-4244 now. Right. Or drop us an email. themorningstream@gmail.com.
There you go. All right, we're going to go out of here with a Will Smith Daft Punk mashup that is totally ruling my life the last few days. It's called Moving Da Royalty. Check it out, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air. Relaxing, all cool, and all shooting some ball outside of the school. Ran a couple of guys who were up to no good. Started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight, and my mom got scared. I said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air." Suitcase to send me on my way. She gave me a kiss and then she gave me my ticket. I put my Walkman on and said I might as well kick it. First class, yo, this is bad. Drinking orange juice out of a champagne glass. Is this what the people of Bel-Air live like? This might be alright. But wait, I hear the prissy bourgeois and all that. Is this the type of place that they should send this cool cat? I don't think so. I see when I get there. I hope they're prepared for the Prince of Bel-Air.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.